Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
4:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Lots of stuff that we are discussing this afternoon. My friend and the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, Joe Moreno, is going to be with us in just 1 hour, a former federal prosecutor. And so I am just curious to hear what he's got to say about special counsel Herr and all this other stuff that we've been dealing with as we've headed through today. We've got Governor Doug Wilder coming up in a couple of moments. And you know what happens on Tuesdays? Every Tuesday at 4:33, we've got Craig Peterson, who joins us, talks a little bit about, a lot of tech stuff, but, remaining safe online. That does seem to be the challenge more often than not. Craig, thank you for being here, my friend.
Hey, you are welcome. Hey, did you hear about Gwyneth Paltrow's new doorstop? She's using her Oscar as a doorstop. I know you have the Samsung, but wow, that's pretty cool. Can you imagine these people, right? They're celebrating themselves. Why would anybody watch the Oscars? I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird.
No, you are not weird. You are absolutely correct. And I know that you are absolutely correct because my wife watched it again. Now, she's in love with our Samsung devices. She watched it like it was the Super Bowl, Craig. It was 7 hours of pre-game nonsense.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's more than crazy. It's demented is what it is. But all that being said...
Hey, I put an article this week in the newsletter about this quiz trap. I don't know if you had a chance to read that or not, but you probably remember back when President Trump was running and this whole thing with Cambridge Analytica, and the left was just going crazy because, oh my gosh, he had a quiz running by this company, Cambridge Analytica, out of the UK, quiz running inside of Facebook. And it was used now to get what's called a social graph of everybody that answered the quiz. And so the idea behind all of that is, I know that Jeff Katz is related literally to Heidi or, these kids or those people. And therefore, it puts it all together and says, okay, so he must be interested in voting for Trump, or he's an old man, so he really wants to make sure that this is the case, right? All of that stuff. So that's what the social graphs are all about. Of course, the press forgot to mention that Facebook gave everything on hundreds of millions of users to the Biden campaign for nothing. But anyways, mm-hmm. Trump was terrible, and they were able to get all this information. That sort of thing is still going on today. And what I'm talking about here is this quiz trap. You go and you answer the quiz. And I was talking with a friend of mine, and he was saying, I love answering the quizzes on history because I like to, keep up on history and make sure I'm not mistaken. It's one thing to answer a quiz, but why, Jeff? Why would they put a quiz online if they don't have a benefit themselves? Right. Facebook makes sense. They want to keep your eyeballs right on the website. Yeah. But how about the people that make the quiz? It's the same reason. It's the social graph stuff. So in some cases now, and there's a warning that's come out now from the feds about this very thing, which is doing those little innocent quizzes online is revealing information about you. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, it's revealing things like, where were you born? How old are you? Yeah, those types of things. And people are answering them, and then they're getting fished. which means they're getting emails that are directed directly at them because of what they know about them. And in some cases, even their friends and families are. So you can't even trust quizzes anymore.
Well, now, Craig, I looked at this, and I think it's a great article, and you're spot on as usual. Some of those quizzes seem to me, and you're the expert here, but some of them seem to really be fishing for information that a lot of people would use as security questions or passwords. You know, what was the street you grew up on? What was your first dog's name, right? I mean, people use those all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do, and that's exactly what they're going for. You're right. They're basically security questions as well are part of this. And remember, these people that are running these various types of scams, right, these hosers, as I like to call them, right, because they're trying to suck all your information out, these hosers are smart people, and now they're using some of the AI and machine learning to put all of this stuff together. So, yeah, where did you grow up? What was the name of your street? It's not just for coming up with fake names anymore. It really is being used now when they do something called password stuffing. So password stuffing is where they take literally 2 billion stolen email addresses and passwords, and they then feed them into a site that they're trying to break into. And if they can correlate your username, which is usually your email address, with answering some of these quiz questions, many times they can get right around some of this multi-factor authentication that some of these sites have in place. So it's, again, it's really be careful. This is another way that they're getting you.
Jeez. So, Craig, short of going back to like a piece of slate and a chisel, I mean, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, it's a problem. Social media is a real problem, and we're seeing it now, results of it, in not just the young kids that are, of course, growing up with it, and the bullying that happens 24/7 now. You know, I used to get bullied. I mean, bullied. I got beaten with 2x4s and nails and knives and everything else, you know, because I grew up in Canada, which is a lovely place. And it was a real problem for me to have all of that stuff happen to me. But at least I could walk a different way home or to school. Right. Kids can't get away from it now. But then it's keeping up with the Joneses. Right? Yeah. You have to have the latest Galaxy S24, don't you? Because everybody around you has it, right? And it's, oh, that's so cool. I like those features. And you're seeing it on social media. The information's being shared on social media, and it's keeping up with the Joneses and trying to one-up them. That's become a real problem for you and I, you know, people of our generation.
Yep.
So it's all the way through. You know, I had so much hope, Jeff, but way back when, and we were literally developing the internet, and it was very, very neat because we were able to share all kinds of cool stuff, and we had some great little joke things going, you know, back and forth, and we were learning things, sharing things, and you know what? Back then, it was about 98% conservatives on the internet. I didn't know a single leftist on the internet even back then. You know, mind you, this was decades ago. But there were none. It was very, very conservative because we were all engineers. We were all working, trying to build this, design the software, right? And Al Gore was the only guy. Who, you know, he was drinking the Coke and the Pep and eating the pizza, but yeah, he was.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It was a different world, and we had so many great hopes. It's still great. We're still able to do stuff. Google has become a repository of information that's out there, and that's all great. But the bad guys have figured out that they can multiply their voice, and they do that through these basically data centers where they have people stacked up who are trolls who are going online trying to influence elections. A study was done a few years back, not very long ago, in Orange County, California, of voters. And did Google sway the election? And they found, in no uncertain terms, this was a university study, that yes, indeed, Google swayed it towards the Democrat that was in the race to the order of tens of thousands of votes.
Wow.
We're now looking at AI, right? Direct yep. AI. And you saw what happened with Google's Gemini, showing you pictures of Nazis, and it was black people and Asians, and, you know, it wasn't the typical white Aryan that you would expect, and on, because it's being programmed from the base to be prejudice, I guess, right? If race is an issue and you yep. define things based on race, you're a racist.
That's right.
So it is really scary, because one more thing on all, I'm sorry, I'm on a rant here.
No,
where's my
okay.
soapbox?
I love it.
One more thing here, which is, okay, we don't know exactly how AI works. Nobody does, right? We can get into the specifics of, okay, well, this code calls that, it's a matrix, and we do the multiplications, and, you know, we traverse it, and we use the GPUs. Okay, all of that, I get it, right? But when you get right down to it, how exactly is it making this decision, right? Because it isn't, it figures out the next word at a time. If you've ever watched it write something, right? It's one word at a time. What's the likelihood of the next word based on the previous words? That's how it does it. No programmer sitting there doing it. However, they are taking the overall algorithm and they're tweaking it so that the program that is known as AI is going to go certain directions at some times. And it's all closed source, which is what Elon Musk just started suing them about, OpenAI, about a week ago, saying, hey, this is supposed to help humanity. It's supposed to be available to everyone. So how are we going to be able to trust this stuff that we don't see, the code's not being reviewed, and it's helping people make decisions? Courts are using it now to come up with decisions in some areas of the world. This is starting to really scare me.
I wish I could say that I didn't share your fear, but I look at this, I think in the same way that you do. I'm certainly not as smart as you, or I'm not an engineer. I don't know how to write code, but we're about the same age, and we have seen things develop. We come from a place and time where we remember the world before really computers, right? I mean, there were big, massive things, and I remember as a kid, you fed it was almost like a ticker tape, and you got it to ring a bell, control G, and that was so cool, and acoustic couplers and all that. But now it's just part of being alive, and this AI transition, it does scare me a little bit, and it's not just looking at it, you know, composing an email and going, oh yeah, that's a good word, or yeah, you really are, you can do this. What happens when I don't have to do anything, and then what use am I as this AI thing? Because I do worry, is it a sentient creature? Is it somehow going to decide, well, we don't need the Jeffs or the Craigs anymore, and we'll just get rid of them because they're sucking up oxygen that could be used to cool our circuits, right? I mean, it sounds crazy, but is it totally insane?
No, it's not. In fact, I did a little study here and all of this, right? Not very deep, right? Not very repeatable in some cases. But the guys and gals that have come up with AIs, so we're talking about the heads of the top 20 AI companies that are out there. And there's a lot of companies.
Right.
About 20% of them are worried that AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, it's actual intelligence, will be able to and will ultimately destroy humanity. 20% think that that could well happen. And AGI, artificial general intelligence, is probably going to be available by the end of this year.
Oh, my gosh.
It's kind of like Moore's Law. You know, it used to be the computing resources doubled every 18 months.
Right.
But now we're seeing these AIs take massive leaps in 2 to 6 weeks. That's how quickly they are progressing. It's very, very fast. So kind of tying this back to the quiz trap, the quiz stuff we were talking about earlier, people are don't understand this. Programmers that are doing some of this stuff, well, none of them really understand it, but we put too much trust into some of these systems that are out there. And we've got to start pulling back on that trust. Now, we're seeing the U.S. military now with drones that are effectively wingmen to our jet fighters are ML-based, machine learning, AI-based. Already, we're seeing it happening in the Ukraine, or I guess Ukraine nowadays. It's all an issue, Jeff. And so we as individuals have to be careful. We as businesses have to use this stuff, or we're going to have a hard time competing. So there's a fine line in between those two things. I don't think that we're all going to lose our jobs within the next few years because of AI. I think it'll make our lives easier. But there's a reason Musk wants to have men on Mars, and that is what happens if life on Earth gets wiped out.
Well, on that happy note, Craig, let me ask you two questions. Question number one, for folks who would like to get your newsletter, which, by the way, is not about the end of the world, but it does address really serious issues about staying safe online and not falling for any of these traps. Remind everybody how they get that newsletter.
Oh, there's so much good stuff, including how to fix Google search results that have gotten terrible. There's some really good little hacks in the newsletter. And you can get it by going to CraigPeterson.com. Just CraigPeterson.com. It's right there on the homepage, Jeff.
All right. And question number two, where in Canada did you grow up?
Oh, the Great White North, eh? Well, my dad worked for the Royal Bank, so we moved on average every 9 months when I was growing up, which is probably what pushed me into the tech shell, right?
Ah.
So I spent most of my life in Montreal, so I went to French schools, and a lot of it in Alberta, up north in Alberta. I remember days when 40 below zero was the high.
Wow. Well, then let me ask you one more question for my favorite quiz. Since you spent time in Montreal, you were probably walking along the main. You go to Schwartz's. It has to be Plou Gras, does it not?
Good old Schwartz's. There is a smoked meat place out on Il Perro that is my favorite, and I love to go. I miss that, right? We don't have it down here. That kind of meal. You can get poutine, but it's not the same thing.
It is not the same. And for people saying it's just pastrami, no, smoked meat is what pastrami wants to be when it grows up. You and I both know that.
Here.
All right, we are going to organize a road trip, if nothing else, to Montreal at some point in La Belle Provence while we're still allowed there before they don't even allow people that speak English anymore. So I appreciate you being here, my friend. We will talk again soon. That is Craig Peterson. Go to his website, please, CraigPeterson.com. Sign up for the newsletter. All great stuff. It is 4:50. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.